Good morning. We've got updates on the Tarek Skubal front, odds, quotes, and a trade proposal. Yes or no? 7:35. I may have had my first dad moment.
I can't wait for this one. Much like the question I had about how you almost didn't make it into work this morning, that was answered. It's a big pothole, swallowed up your golf cart.
Had to climb out of it. Yeah. It was a ladder situation.
You have no kids.
Correct. Famously.
So he curious. Does have a cat.
This is not related to the cat. Although,
you're a cat dad.
Although, quick story. We were out in Ann Arbor yesterday. You heard Sharon Moore in the update. I had to get up extra early to make the drive out to Ann Arbor. And with my wife out of town, I fed the cat early and I've reset the clock. So this morning I'm getting pawed at and scratched at and walked over. And so that was also part of my morning today.
No. Mom's out. Cats will play.
Anyway, it's unrelated to the cat. Was it my first dad moment? Maybe some of you guys can relate to it. All right, John, here's the deal with Tarek Skubal. The odds from bookies have Skubal most likely to end the season with the Baltimore Orioles.
Ooh, intriguing. Yeah. What does Vegas know?
The Tigers, who are in talks from all the reports we've heard, are not expected to trade him according to executives. So ESPN did their bold trade predictions for every single team. And under the Dodgers, it said the Tigers, who are getting offers for Skubal, don't bet on it getting done. MLB executives recently surveyed by ESPN believe the Tigers won't do it. Not a single executive believes the Tigers will actually trade him. So some conflict. The market, Vegas, they're taking money on Skubal to go to Baltimore. All the executives, not a single one believes he will be dealt by the Tigers. Then throw in a trade proposal that was put out, hypothetical, by Joel Sherman. And this was with MLB Network. The Tigers would trade Tarek Skubal to the Orioles along with Jason Foley. Get back Jackson Holliday and Heston Gierstead.
What?
What? What's your what for?
Well, I would expect
more.
More?
Yeah.
I don't know where is Gierstead even ranked.
So he's not a prospect. He's in the majors.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in terms of what he can do,
so here's his breakdown, because he's not a name we've talked about on the radio. He was the number two overall pick in 2020. He's 25 years old. He's not major league ready. He's in the major leagues.
Right.
Lefty who's hitting .296 with a .906 OPS in limited games this season. He's not been on the roster all season long. So you get a major league bat in the outfield. You get Jackson Holliday up the middle in the infield. But you got to throw in Foley to do it? See, I would say no to this deal, John.
Yeah, I would too. I would want more of their... I know we want an improving bat, but I would want more of Holliday and Bisalo. The same thing conversation that we had last week. Or Holliday and Mayo. I want something more than what they're willing to give. And I don't want to give up Foley along with it.
I was going to ask you, are you open to giving up Foley if it gets you more back?
Sure. I don't have a problem bundling.
I know people have talked about throwing Javi in. It's the opposite of that. That would mean you get less for Skubal if you try to burden someone with Javi Baez. The opposite would be, hey, you're a playoff team, a World Series team. You can never have enough bullpen arms, whether it's Foley or somebody else as a sweetener to help maybe make you pry away one more of those young players. Yeah, I'd be open to it. I mean, the reality with bullpens, they're so volatile. I like Foley a lot, but in 18 months, could he be on the team? I don't know. Or struggling? Yeah. I mean, I think that's the reality of bullpens is they end up pretty volatile. I give up a bullpen arm with Tarek Skubal, but I would need more than Holliday and Gierstead. I would want, like you said, Mayo or Bisalo. I want to get multiple prospects in return. And I'm also not trying to trade Tarek Skubal. So I think you can make quote-unquote unreasonable asks of Baltimore and dare him to say yes.
That's the point, is you have this year, out of all of Major League Baseball, you have the number one bargaining chip that you don't have to move. If you don't get something that is, I don't even know if you can go above asking price, but that's that's the leverage you have right now. You have all of the leverage with Tarek Skubal. So don't settle for, well, this is the best deal we can get.
Right. I keep pointing to Chris Sale as the best comp for Tarek Skubal. Chris Sale was the White Sox Cy Young caliber power lefty arm. So I think there's comparisons between the two. And at the time, Chris Sale, I think, had 3 years left on his contract. Skubal's got 2.5 years left of team control. They're very similar, right? Sale was traded away from the White Sox to the Red Sox for a package that included the number one prospect in all of baseball and a power arm and a couple other minor leaguers too. But, you know, two young headline pieces. And who won the deal? Boston got Sale. He would go on to pitch for them for a couple seasons. They would win a World Series. Sale is still in the game today at 35 years old and was in the All-Star game. The Red Sox won the deal. The White Sox got Yoan Moncada, who was the number one prospect at the time, yeah, has not materialized as anything more than just a guy on a baseball team.
Right.
And the pitcher was Kopech, who has had surgeries, and you know he's nowhere near the player that they thought they were getting in the trade. For everybody that's afraid of the risk of Skubal and what if he gets hurt, the risk is you fall in love with prospects, none of them pan out, and that guy's delivering a World Series for Baltimore. So I am not dying to trade Tarek Skubal. I want to build around Tarek Skubal. So that's how I would approach this if I was Scott Harris. I go, hey, listen, this might be fair. This might be equal and even, but I'm going to be the bad guy, and you're not going to like me. I'm going to ask for one more high-end player or prospect, and I'm going to see where your pain tolerance is.
Right.
Because I can, at the end of the day, say, hey, Baltimore, you're going to lose Corbin Burns at the end of this season. How bad do you want to win a World Series? You're not going to keep all your young players. You're not going to pay all your young players. Why don't you chase a couple World Series with Tarek Skubal? And if you're not willing to, all right, cool. I don't need to move him. He's a great player. We're going to keep him. Now, you have to mean that. You have to mean that you're going to keep Tarek Skubal. But
right.
I would much prefer to keep him ahead of the deadline.
Well, and I think, I mean, I don't know what you're seeing on text right now, but on Twitch, it's, you know, people are, everyone's saying, I'm not looking for an even trade. The trade has to be heavily one-sided towards the Tigers. And that's what you do when you have this type of leverage. And I don't know that a lot of people, there are people that say, yes, you should trade Skubal. But if at the, you know, when the trade deadline comes and goes, if Skubal is still on the Tigers, there's not going to be a lot of people that are sitting there going, oh man, we Skubal's still here because he's going to be here. It's not Eduardo Rodriguez.
No.
It's not Jack Flaherty. He has two more years of control that the Tigers have for him, so you're going to have a Cy Young winner as long as things continue to proceed the way they have to this point this year, and you're going to have another, you'll have that ace on your staff, plus hopefully next year is Jackson Jobe. Hopefully Casey Mize comes along. Hopefully you go out in the offseason and you find the next Jack Flaherty, a guy that could come in and have a season like this. You're not going to be complaining about Tarek Skubal still being on the roster.
248-539-9797. Bookies.com says the Orioles are the most likely landing place for Tarek Skubal to end the season. Plus 300 that he ends up in Baltimore, plus 450 that he stays in Detroit. Now, do what you want with that. MLB executives, none of them think Tarek Skubal is going to be traded. And the deal that we want your reaction to, this proposal, you get two bats, one that's already in the majors in Kjærstad, and the other is Jackson Holliday, the centerpiece of the deal. But you got to give up Foley. This two-for-two thing doesn't make sense to me. I'm giving up the best player in the deal, and it's player-for-player, two-for-two. No, I need more. Ticket text, early returns on this. Make Baltimore take Baez, but throw in Torkelson. Get creative here. Maybe they'd want Torque. Is this just package up all the stuff you don't want? This is what I miss, or maybe don't miss. When we get closer to trade deadlines, all fans do this. They try to make other teams take their garbage. If you don't want it, they don't want it either.
Well, but here's the thing about Torque. I mean, okay, yeah, it's a bummer that it hasn't worked out to this point. He did have 30 home runs last year. We know that it's in there somewhere. Will he ever be able to do that again? Will he ever be able to get close to that? I don't know. But he's not costing us anything down in AAA. Let him live down there. Let him just see if maybe at some point it clicks. If he's willing to make some changes to his swing, to his approach, to the mental side of things, like just let him be there. Nobody, I don't think, many people would look at that and say, well, that's a great add to this trade.
Right.
I mean, from the outside looking in, obviously we would because we're tired of him.
Right. I mean, he's striking out a ton in AAA.
Yeah. He's working through some stuff. Yeah.
Do you think he gets a call up before the end of the season?
Not at this pace, unless there's just a rash of injuries.
So there's two schools of thought. If they are, you know, selling at the deadline, they're not in a race, do you give them one more chance to bubble up and make a statement and save his career? Maybe. But I also get the argument of, we're not going to reward a guy who went down to AAA and didn't turn around his game, didn't get any better. We're not rewarding that. And if it means his career is done, so be it. It's nothing personal. It's business. We're trying to win here. You're not helping us. Toledo's where you belong until you've improved. And if you don't improve, your big league career is over.
Yeah. I mean, I think he stays in AAA until he shows something. I mean, something. Because he's not costing you a roster spot. He had all the chances in the world. Now you stay there until you get it right.
Ticket text pouring in on whether or not they would do the trade. We'll get your responses next. It's 97.1.
Got a new roof on the house last fall. Went through the winter. Didn't have to worry about it. Went through the spring, summer, and I mean, we've had some torrential downpours. Didn't have to worry about it. That company that I went with, Rapid Roofing. Why? No pressure sales approach. They didn't come with some unbelievable number and then say, hey, if you sign the papers today, we're going to knock off a large chunk, but it has to be today. They didn't do that. It's a family-owned and operated company. Most roofs are done in just one single day, and they've got the best manufacturer-backed warranty in the state of Michigan. If you want great service, go with Rapid Roofing. Mike and his company there are tremendous. Roof on in one day and cleaned up and gone. Here's the number. Rapid Roofing, 888-360-ROOF. That's 888-360-ROOF. Or you can get more information on the web at rapidroofing.com.
Tigers lose 5-4. Still six games back in the wild card. The Royals lost two.
Bummer. Had a chance to make up one.
The hypothetical trade for Tarek Skubal. We wanted your response to it. This is from MLB Network, Joel Sherman. He said the Tigers would send Tarek Skubal and they'd throw in Jason Foley. How generous. To get back Jackson Holliday and Heston Kjerstad. Kjerstad's in the bigs, 25 years old, number two overall pick. People on Ticket Texas have pointed out heart condition, kind of scary. More proven bat as opposed to some of the names that are atop their prospect list. Your response was not enough. My response was not enough. I'm willing to throw Foley in, but I got to win this thing pretty considerably for me to give up Tarek Skubal. I'm not throwing a Cy Young winner to a team to win a World Series to get back a collection of maybes. And it better be a collection. It can't be one. Like, this is two for two. That doesn't make any sense to me.
So try and look at this from the other side and figure out, okay, this is not somebody that it's involved in the organization. It's not even somebody that covers the team in that area. This is coming from MLB.com. Are they, you know, over at MLB, is the thought that Jackson Holliday is just that good? An independent writer is writing this, and he obviously is able to do some research that, you know, or has access to talk to scouts, to talk to everybody else, and they think that Jackson Holliday is just that good.
So the selling point would be he's a shortstop, premium position, bloodlines, World Series winning father, you know.
Well, I wouldn't even go bloodlines. I wouldn't go World Series winning father. I would just go just as a prospect. I know that all plays a part of it, but what are they seeing when he's at the plate? What are they seeing when he's at shortstop? What are they seeing about what his progression should be and what he projects to be in the major leagues?
He's the number one prospect in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Right. So that's part of this too. It's not just who his dad was. I mean, the thought here is if he does pan out, it is a critical up the middle defensive plus and a bat that plays for a decade. So I think that's the consideration here. But Yon Moncada was the number one prospect in all of baseball. That was the centerpiece of the Chris Sale deal. I'd rather have Chris Sale. I'd rather have Tarik Skubal. You have to blow me away. Ticket Texter says, I don't want Heston. He has heart issues. Another one says, did I miss something last week? Last week it was Skubal for three prospects. Now it's Skubal and a pitcher for only two players. Leo, southbound 75. Yeah, Leo, I think a lot of people saw that and said, up the ante or no.
Yeah.
Take the deal if we keep Foley, says a Ticket Texter.
Skubal straight up for those two?
For a number one and a number two overall pick, guys who would be on the major league roster tomorrow.
I would have to, I still don't know that, I don't know, maybe. I'd have to find out more and do some more research. Now, this is why when we heard from, you know, John Morosi that scouts were down watching, you know, Jackson Holliday and how he is attacking games, how he is performing in the minor leagues, because he did have a cup of coffee with the Baltimore Orioles, and it didn't go well. He's young. What would you, I mean, your
I think
thoughts.
I'd say no. I'd say no. I'm not trying to move Tarik Skubal. There are other people who feel like you got to move him. This Ticket Texter says, I'd be upset if he's here after the deadline. Doesn't fit our timeline. He's injury prone. His value will never be higher. Take what you can get. Throw in a player to sweeten the pot. Just move him. Just move him? I don't agree with just move him.
No.
The idea that he doesn't fit the timeline. Well, that's damning in its own right. What do you mean doesn't fit the timeline? Why can't the Tigers make a push in 2025 to be a playoff team? Why is that off the table? Why is that not the timeline? If that's a bigger issue, if they don't think they can be competitive in 25, that's a much bigger issue. Trading Tarik Skubal because you don't think you can win in 25 is waving the white flag on next year. Forget about this season.
Yeah.
And it might be waving the flag on 26 because, what, we're supposed to wait for McGonigal and Clark and Rayner, the guy they just drafted. How about you invest in your baseball team and you start winning ASAP, and Tarik Skubal would be the catalyst to do that. He's the freaking Cy Young Award winner. I'm not giving him up to help Baltimore win a World Series unless they bend over backwards.
So last year with Erod, I could understand the just move him talk. With Flaherty, I can understand the just move him talk because their contract is up at the end of the season. If you don't move him now, you get the production from now until the end of the year, but after that, you might not have that asset anymore. So I understand just move him. If you think the run before the All-Star break and what we've seen since the All-Star break is not sustainable, I understand that. I kind of agree with that. But that means move guys that are on the last year of their contract so you can get potential in return, something that may help you in the future.
Last one, Marcella McComb. Ah, nice relaxing drive to work. Finally a break from the politics. Now this, my blood pressure's rising with the talk that we would swap our top player for an equal number of players but lesser talent. What is this nonsense?
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Marcel. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Your responses, we'll keep collecting them on the Ticket Text. 7:35, my first dad moment. First, Heather with the news.
Well, after nearly 37 years of professing his innocence from behind bars, a Highland Park man officially left court on Tuesday as a free man. 37 years behind bars. Paul Clark was wrongfully convicted of murdering a man back in 1987. Mm. And after losing three appeals in a row, he was finally exonerated thanks to some newly found evidence. This crucial piece of evidence was a mugshot that was buried deep in the abyss of old criminal files. And it wasn't discovered until 2020. Plus, there was also an inmate who says that the man in that mugshot had confessed to him years ago in prison that he had killed the man in Clark's case. Originally, a judge had said, okay, you know what? This man is entitled to a new trial, and he was released on a tether in May. But on Tuesday, Clark was officially granted his freedom after the prosecutor's office decided, you know what? We're not going to retry the case, and we're going to dismiss all the charges. He has two children, a daughter who was born basically very shortly after he was sentenced. She's 36 years old. She is thrilled he is going to be out so they can start living life together. He also has a son that was turned two the day he was put in prison, who is also excited to do things like go fishing with his dad and obviously just start living a life that you haven't been able to live. Right. Pretty It's really sad. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. But thankfully, he is out. Listen to this story. Good Samaritans rushed into Lake St. Clair to rescue a woman from her car on Tuesday afternoon. It was right around 12:30, and this car just drove into the water, right? And as it began to sink, two individuals jumped into action. One of those guys was a 15-year-old who was out fishing, right? Heard this loud crash, and instead of standing there, pulling out his cell phone, doing what most people do when weird things happen, he jumped into the water with another man. The teen used a rock to smash the back window of the car. They were able to pull the woman out of the car and swim her to shore. She was taken to the hospital, but it sounds like she's expected to be okay.
Wow.
The car has since been pulled from the lake. Still unknown exactly what happened, because there's not any roads where this woman just kind of drove into the water. So still some unknowns, right, yeah, as to what happened before this crash. But thankfully, these two individuals knew what to do, and they did what they needed to do. This fall, if you're headed to the cider mill or a tailgate or whatever you're going to do this fall, the weather could be a little cooler than usual, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac, if you want to believe it. Predicting that we'll experience below average temperatures for most of the lower peninsula, which is obviously where we live. But they say about average temperatures for the upper peninsula. But they also say we'll see below average precipitation this fall as well, which is good.
So not a lot of rain, not much snow as you get closer to Turkey Day.
So, of course, the Almanac says, you know what, their weather predictions are 80% accurate. But many weather experts say, don't agree with those. It's basically up to chance. Like, their prediction is just as good as chance.
Yeah.
So, take it with a grain of salt, I guess. Finally, if you don't check your spam folder, you might want to start doing that every once in a while. There's a Macomb County man that found an email telling him he had won a $100,000 lottery prize in his spam folder. So he was aware that this could be a possibility. He was entered into the like random drawing. He had scanned some tickets on the Michigan Lottery app. And so he was like, oh, maybe there's an email. Maybe I won. And he looked in his inbox. Nothing. So he did say, you know what, I'll check out the spam folder. And there it was, this email saying he had won a huge prize. He said he couldn't believe it. He has already gotten his money. He's going to take a vacation and save the rest.
See, I would think it'd be a scam, but I guess it makes sense for him.
But he knew if it was a random, like, hey, you just won $100,000 and you haven't been playing the lottery, it's a scam. But he knew that he was entered in this like second chance drawing. So he knew it was a possibility.
So it wasn't like a Nigerian prince needs the money.
No. It wasn't like that at all.
Okay.
Send gift cards. No.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, my first dad moment, We are going to talk Lions today. Training camp underway. Dave Burkett with a sobering stat. Is he being a buzzkill, or is this important context for the Lions? It's 97.1.
Hey, we all start thinking about our bodies just a little bit more in the summer, because we might be in bathing suits. You might be in some shorts or T-shirts, whatever it might be. And you wish that maybe you weighed a little bit less, or you had a smaller size that you could fit into. There's still plenty of time, because if you're looking to lose 10 pounds, 100 pounds, or anywhere in between, go to idealyou.us now. Don't wait. Book your free consultation and find out how you could be 15, 20, or even 30 pounds lighter in just the next 30 days. It's idealyou.us. IdealU is a Michigan-based weight loss company, and they've been helping thousands of people across the state, just like you and me, lose weight. In fact, over 90%, that's 9 out of 10 IdealU customers, lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. Who wouldn't like to be 20 pounds lighter in 40 days? I lost 10 pounds in 10 days. I lost 60 pounds overall with IdealU, and I've been able to keep it off now going on 2.5 years. If you want to weigh less, go to IdealU.us. If you sign up now, you're also going to get a $200 Visa gift card. Start your summer off, or keep it going the right way. Lose weight and get a $200 Visa gift card. Lose 15, 20, or even 30 pounds in just the next 30 days. That's idealyou.us. I did it. You can as well. That website, one more time, idealyou.us.
Tigers lose the bullpen day to the Guardians. 5-4 final. Who the bleep is Bly Madris, and why is he at the plate with the game on the line in the eighth inning, runner in scoring position? Anyway, Tigers missed opportunity against the Guardians. Flaherty pitching, maybe for one of the last times in a Tiger uniform, later today. We've got some ticket texts, some phone calls on the Scooble thing. There's a proposed trade put out by MLB Network. We are going to get into the Lions. Training camp is underway today, right at 8 o'clock. Dan Campbell's going to, I think, meet with the media. We may get some quotes, something interesting. Dave Burkett has a sobering stat. Listen, we're in uncharted territory for the Lions. It's a very exciting time, and Dave went a little buzzkill on us. But we'll get to that later in the show, too. Or maybe
he's not even on our shores. He's over in Paris covering the Olympics. Come on, Dave.
He's not even going to be at the start of training camp, and he's throwing this on us. Cold water. Or is it?
Right.
We'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. On the phones, we have Dan in Ann Arbor. Dan, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. I enjoy listening to you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I just wanted to chime in on the Scooble discussion. I think that everyone looks at this Tigers team and says, oh, if only we had a good lineup. But if you look at 2025, 2026, I really think our starting rotation is the concern if you presumably lose Jack Flaherty either to free agency or to trade this week. And you look at the free agency market and what top-end free agent starting pitchers have done. You look at Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery and Yamamoto being injured, all these guys who were signed this past offseason who have not had success for big money. It's hard to find an ace starting pitcher or even a number two who is legit. And 2.5 years of Tarek Skubal's control, I think, is much more valuable to this team's competitive window in these next few years than it is to have another potential young bat who's, you know, going to figure it out over these next couple of years. I think that this lineup will actually be above average next season with a healthy Kerry Carpenter, Chase Young coming in, Riley Green being a stud, and having some money to at least go get one other guy for some pop. I think Jay Hen is a good, solid hitter. I think Wentzel Perez is a solid depth player. I don't think this lineup is as bad as people think in terms of next year. And I think we need to think about next year's competitive window and the year after. And I think having a good starting rotation is actually going to be something that we're taking a little bit for granted right now, with Reese Olson being an injury waiting to happen, with how many sliders he throws, Flaherty likely being gone.
Right, because Dan
and Manning not being contributors. Yeah.
Yeah, Dan, I think we've even started to see it this year, right? I mean, their rotation right now is three guys. It's a 3-man rotation, a 10-man bullpen. Your pitching depth goes quickly. If they do trade Scooble, better be for a haul, because 2025, it's going to be an uphill climb. You're much more competitive in 25 with Tarek Skubal. You pay a bat or two, and you try to win baseball games. The thing that we wanted them to do this year. He said competitive window. That's the whole debate. Is your competitive window now in the next couple years, or is it 2-3 years away? And that's where the Scooble talk starts. All right, John, I was telling you a story off air. We're redoing our living room space, right? The TV stand is coming. We've got the new TV mounted on the wall, and we've got a couch.
Oh, you need a new place to play the video game. Is that what this is?
No, this is for the football season. This is gearing up.
Well, yeah, this
to
is
have
your
the
football
entertainment
season.
Space.
I mean, you're already in season 5. This is your season.
But we are redoing our living room, and we've got this really nice couch. It's one of those, like, you can kind of move it around, modular, however you want to lay it out to fill the space the best way. And it's
whatever you might be doing.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, I guess. But it's a really nice couch, and it's lighter color. It's like a beige, like a light toned couch.
Yeah. Is it cloth fabric, or is it leather?
No, it's cloth.
Okay.
And I'm really protective over this couch right now because it's nice. The space is being redone. I want it to be nice.
As you should be. You just spent money on a nice piece of furniture.
And I've been cracking down on any food on the couch at home.
Mm-hmm. There's only two of you there.
Yes. So you know where this is going. I'm like, hey, Kelsey, no pasta bolognese on the couch. We want to keep sauce off the couch, red liquids, anything that's not clear liquids off the couch.
Cat food, Roomba. No.
No. Yeah. Eat in your space, not on the couch. And you looked at me and you said, this is a dad moment.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you get a new piece of furniture, the first thing you do is you sit the kids down and you have this conversation. There will be no drinking of any milk, any juice, any orange and nothing, no eating on the couch, no food is allowed in this room. I've just never heard anybody lay down that type of law with their wife.
She called me the couch cop because I'm policing the couch that we just bought. Now, I listen, eventually...
She lives there too, right?
Yes, she does. Right. Well, she should want to keep it nice, right?
Well, I'm sure she does.
I'm sure she does, but I'm sure she's probably a careful... She's an adult.
She is.
Does she have the opportunity to make her own choice? Or is this how it works in the... Cost a household. You will do as I say.
Just like his emails.
I will be taking this week off. We get more and more an insight into Jim Costa's life because you are treating them exactly how I would treat my kids.
And you know what kids do when you say,
don't make good decisions.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Guess what kids do?
Oh, that's what they want to do.
Oh, they.
You tell
they
me.
They do it. Yes. Yeah. Nobody likes to be told what to do.
We are equals at our home, but I want the couch to stay nice, and I have been making more than a comment or two. Hey, don't eat that over there. Because our old couch, we would eat.
I bet that's a comfortable moment.
Yeah.
She's about ready to sit down with a nice meal, watch a TV. Maybe it's just a hot chocolate. Right?
You can't have a hot chocolate on the couch.
Or a glass of red wine.
No.
My goodness. You're not reliable enough.
So clearly that's gone over well for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it has.
Yeah. So it's funny that you say this because we as well got a new chair in our kitchen, right? So we've got a little area for Teddy, a small table for him to be able to eat at while either Lisa or I are cooking. He can sit there. He can color, do all these things. We got a new chair to be able to sit there. So if one of us is in the kitchen, the other one can be sitting there playing with Teddy, watching Teddy, whatever. Yesterday, mom goes to the grocery store. Dad's in charge. And we are at the kitchen table. I don't keep an eye on Teddy for 30 seconds. He takes one of the crayons off of his table and proceeds to go over to this brand new chair, not even in the house a week, and takes big swipes of and marks up the cushion of the couch. And then I walk in and I, you know, my reaction was one where Teddy's looking at me and he's kind of got a half smirk on his face like, hey, you like what I did?
And he knows exactly what he just did.
At that age, does he know? He knows that he's not supposed to do that.
Yes,
absolutely. He knows. He knew within a matter of seconds that it was a bad move. So then I turn my head, go to get something to clean it up with. I come back. That was a black crayon. He's got a green one and he's back at it.
Oh, no.
He's testing you.
So apparently the words didn't hit home.
No.
And actions speak louder than words. The actions that followed, he is well aware that is not what you do. And so, but that's how I would treat a two-year-old. You're treating your wife like a two-year-old.
I don't see it that way.
I mean, did you guys have like a conversation when you bought this couch? Like, no. Hey, you know, well, that's the problem. You're basically
just
enforcing
this is all new,
rules to your wife. You should have just said, like, wow, we're spending a decent chunk of money on this. What would you say? Like, what do you think if we just try to eat more of our meals at the kitchen table instead of bringing them into the living room? Like, or should we buy like the protection plan? Or should we I don't know. It's a conversation you'd have before you're just saying like, don't eat that over there, sweetie. Like, it's just nobody wants to be told that.
Well, yeah. I mean, so Teddy is in the terrible twos. I have to make it known that this is a wrong action. Is your wife in she's still in the 20s? She's in the terrible 20s? Terrible 20s?
Terrible 20s?
Yeah.
I don't think I was making demands as much as I was, in my mind, politely saying, hey, let's not. But when you do it 2, 3, 4 times in the span of, we haven't even had the couch a full week at this point.
Yeah.
It doesn't come across that way.
No, I hear that.
As a wife, I've heard things like that. But, well, I'm just saying, like, things never come across the way you want them to come across.
Confrontational Colin, yeah.
And vice versa. I'm sure I've done it as well. Like, I've said things that don't come across the way I mean it. I'm just like, oh, this is just, I'm just
little help,
letting you know.
A helpful tip.
It doesn't come across as a helpful tip.
Helpful tip, don't spill anything on the couch. Yeah, I know. That's probably how she views it. Yes, I know. I'm not going to make a mess on the new couch, but it's a new couch. It's light colored. I don't want to have hot chocolate or coffee or red wine or sauce of anything staining the couch.
A couple of questions before we go to break. New furniture in the house. how long did it take before a kid or an adult or guest did something to your new couch? I would like to hear from our listeners how long it took before there was a stain that either took major effort or was it possibly ruined? And then the second question is, you have these conversations with your kids. How much or how should you present not eating on the couch to an adult that is living also in the house?
And I do wonder, do you eat on the couch? Because Heather, you've said...
Oh, hell yeah.
We do not eat on the couch or in the living room. No. Like, I mean, okay, if we're watching a movie, Colin and I, we will maybe bring a snack in there, you know, like a whatever, a candy. But we don't eat food in the living room.
So I'm curious about the distinction. The stories we want that John said, and then just what is the rule in your house? 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. And with that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. With All Day IPA, it's right in the name, and here's what you get. A refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game day. So if you're getting ready to go to Comerica for the Tigers, or if you're getting ready for fall Saturdays or Sundays, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for tailgates. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Tigers lose the bullpen day to the Guardians. 5-4 final. Who the bleep is Bly Madris, and why is he at the plate with the game on the line in the eighth inning, runner in scoring position? Anyway, Tigers missed opportunity against the Guardians. Flaherty pitching, maybe for one of the last times in a Tiger uniform later today. We've got some ticket texts, some phone calls on the Scooble thing. There's a proposed trade put out by MLB Network. We are going to get into the Lions. Training camp is underway today. Right at 8 o'clock, Dan Campbell's going to, I think, meet with the media. We may get some quotes, something interesting. Dave Burkett has a sobering stat. Listen, we're in uncharted territory for the Lions. It's a very exciting time, and Dave went a little buzzkill on us. But we'll get to that later in the show, too.
Or maybe he's not even on our shores. He's over in Paris covering the Olympics. Come on, Dave.
He's not even going to be at the start of training camp, and he's throwing this on us. Cold water. Or is it?
Right.
We'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. On the phones, we have Dan in Ann Arbor. Dan, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. I enjoy listening to you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I just wanted to chime in on the Scooble discussion. I think that everyone looks at this Tigers team and says, oh, if only we had a good lineup. But if you look at 2025, 2026, I really think our starting rotation is the concern if you presumably lose Jack Flaherty either to free agency or to trade this week. And you look at the free agency market and what top-end free agent starting pitchers have done. You look at Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery and Yamamoto being injured, all these guys who were signed this past offseason who have not had success for big money. It's hard to find an ace starting pitcher or even a number two who is legit. And 2.5 years of Tarek Skubal's control, I think, is much more valuable to this team's competitive window in these next few years than it is to have another potential young bat who's, you know, going to figure it out over these next couple of years. I think that this lineup will actually be above average next season with a healthy Kerry Carpenter, Chase Young coming in, Riley Green being a stud, and having some money to at least go get one other guy for some pop. I think Jay Hen is a good, solid hitter. I think Wenzel Perez is a solid depth player. I don't think this lineup is as bad as people think in terms of next year. And I think we need to think about next year's competitive window and the year after. And I think having a good starting rotation is actually going to be something that we're taking a little bit for granted right now, with Reese Olson being an injury waiting to happen, with how many sliders he throws, Flaherty likely being gone. right, because Dan and Manning not being contributors. Yeah,
Dan, I think we've even started to see it this year, right? I mean, their rotation right now is three guys. It's a three-man rotation, a 10-man bullpen. Your pitching depth goes quickly. If they do trade Skubal, better be for a haul, because 2025, it's going to be an uphill climb. You're much more competitive in 25 with Tarek Skubal. You pay a bat or two, mm-hmm. and you try to win baseball games, the thing that we wanted them to do this year. He said competitive window. That's the whole debate. Is your competitive window now in the next couple years, or is it 2-3 years away? And that's where the Skubal talk starts. All right, John, I was telling you a story mm-hmm. off air. We're redoing our living room space, right? The TV stand is coming. We've got the new TV yeah. mounted on the wall, and we've got a couch.
Oh, you need a place, a new place to play the video game. Is that what this is?
No, this is for the football season. This is gearing up.
Well, yeah, this
to
is
have
your
the
football
entertainment
season.
Space.
I mean, you're already in season five. This is your season.
But we are redoing our living room, and we've got this really nice couch. It's one of those, like, you can kind of move it around, modular, however you want to lay it out to fill the space the best way. And it's
whatever you might be doing.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay, I guess. But it's a really nice couch, and it's lighter color. It's like a beige, like a light
sure.
toned couch.
Yeah. Is it cloth fabric, or is it leather?
No, it's cloth.
Okay.
And I'm really protective over this couch right now because it's nice. The space is being redone. I want it to be nice.
As you should be. You just spent yeah. money on a nice piece of furniture.
And I've been cracking down on any food on the couch at home.
Mm-hmm. There's only two of you there.
Yes. So you know where this is going. I'm like, hey, Kelsey, no pasta bolognese on the couch. We want to keep sauce off the couch, red liquids, anything that's not clear liquids off the couch.
Cat food, Roomba. No.
No. Yeah. Eat in your space, not on the couch. And you looked at me and you said, this is a dad moment.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you get a new piece of furniture, the first thing you do is you sit the kids down and you have this conversation. There will be no drinking of any milk, any juice, any orange, and nothing. No eating on the couch. No food is allowed in this room. I've just never heard anybody lay down that type of law with their wife.
She called me the couch cop because I'm policing the couch that we just bought. Now, I listen, eventually...
She lives there too, right?
Yes, she okay. does. Well, right. She should want to keep it nice, right?
Well, I'm sure she
yeah,
does.
I'm sure she does, but I'm sure she's probably a careful... She's an adult.
She is.
Does she have the opportunity to make her own choice? Or is this how it works in the Costa household? You will do as I say.
Just like his emails. No. I will be taking this week off.
We get more and more an insight into Jim Costa's life because you are treating them exactly how I would treat my kids.
And you know what kids do when you
make
say
good decisions?
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Guess what kids do?
Oh, that's what they want to do.
Oh, they.
You tell
they
me.
They do it. Yes. Yeah. Nobody likes to be told what to do.
We are equals at our home, but I want the couch to stay nice, and I have been making more than a comment or two. Hey, don't eat that over there. Because our old couch, we would eat.
I bet that's a comfortable moment.
Yeah.
She's about ready to sit down with a nice meal, watch a TV. Maybe it's just a hot chocolate, right?
You can't have a hot chocolate on the couch.
Or a glass of red wine. Oh,
No.
My goodness.
Sit
You're
at the
not
kitchen
reliable
table.
Enough.
So clearly that's gone over well for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it has.
Yeah, it's funny that you say this because we as well got a new chair in our kitchen, right? So we've got a little area for Teddy, a small table for mm-hmm. him to be able to eat at while either Lisa or I are cooking. He can sit there, he can color, do all these things. We got a new chair to be able to sit there. So if one of us is in the kitchen, the other one can be sitting there playing with Teddy, watching Teddy, whatever. Yesterday, Mom goes to the grocery store. Dad's in charge. And we are at the kitchen table. I don't keep an eye on Teddy for 30 seconds. He takes one of the crayons off of his table and proceeds to go over to this brand new chair, not even in the house a week, and takes big swipes of and marks up the cushion of the couch. And then I walk in and I, you know, my reaction was one where Teddy's looking at me and he's kind of got a half smirk on his face like, oh, hey, do you like what I did?
And he knows exactly what he just did.
At that age, does he know? He knows that he's not supposed to do that.
Yes,
absolutely. He knows. He knew within a matter of seconds that it was a bad move. So then I turn my head, go to get something to clean it up with. I come back. That was a black crayon. He's got a green one. He's back at it.
Oh, no.
He's testing you.
So the...
Oh, no.
The... Apparently, the words didn't hit home.
No.
And actions speak louder than words. The actions that followed, he is well aware that that is not what you do. And so... But that's how I would treat a two-year-old. You're treating your wife like a two-year-old.
I don't see it that way.
I mean, did you guys have like a conversation when you bought this couch? Like, hey, you know, well, that's the problem. You're basically
just
enforcing
this is all new
rules to your wife. You should have just said like, wow, we're spending a decent chunk of money on this. What would you say? Like, what do you think if we just try to eat more of our meals at the kitchen table instead of bringing them into the living room? Like, or should we buy like the protection plan? Or should we like, I don't know. It's a conversation you'd have before you're just saying like, don't eat that over there, sweetie. Like, it's just nobody wants to be told that.
Well, yeah, I mean, so Teddy is in the terrible twos. I have to make it known that this is a wrong action. Is your wife in the, she's still in the 20s? She in the terrible
20s?
Terrible 20s?
Terrible 20s?
Yeah.
I don't think I was making demands as much as I was, in my mind, politely saying, hey, let's not. But when you do it 2, 3, 4 times in the span of, we haven't even had the couch a full week at this point.
Yeah.
It doesn't come across that way.
No, I hear that.
As a wife, I've heard things like that. But well, I'm just saying, like, things never come across the way you want them to come across.
Confrontational Colin, yeah.
And vice versa. I'm sure I've done it as well. Like, I've said things that don't come across the way I mean it. I'm just like, oh, this is just, I'm just
little help,
letting you know.
A helpful tip.
It doesn't come across as a helpful tip.
Helpful tip, don't spill anything on the couch. Yeah, I know. That's probably how she views it. Yes, I know. I'm not going to make a mess on the new couch, but it's a new couch. It's light colored. I don't want to have hot chocolate or coffee or red wine or sauce of anything staining the couch.
A couple of questions before we go to break. New furniture in the house. How long did it take before a kid or an adult or guest did something to your new couch? I would like to hear from our listeners how long it took before there was a stain that either took major effort or was it possibly ruined? And then the second question is, you have these conversations with your kids. How much or how should you present not eating on the couch to an adult that is living also in the house?
And I do wonder, do you eat on the couch? Because Heather, you've said
we do not eat on the couch or in the living room. No, like, I mean, okay, if we're watching a movie, Colin and I, we will maybe bring a snack in there, you know, like a candy, but we don't eat food in the living room.
So I'm curious about the distinction, the stories we want that John said, and then just what is the rule in your house? 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. And with that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. With All Day IPA, it's right in the name, and here's what you get. A refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game day. So if you're getting ready to go to Comerica for the Tigers, or if you're getting ready for fall Saturdays or Sundays, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for tailgates. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
In the 8 o'clock hour, we're talking Lions training camp. They are underway today. Dave Burkett had a sobering stat. We are in uncharted territory. Lions with Super Bowl aspirations. Was he being a buzzkill? Or was this important context to keep us all in the right mindset? I brought up my new couch and some rules that I have with the new couch. So for some context, we used to have a black leather couch and we'd eat on the couch because it's a black leather couch. You can wipe stuff off. Yep. It's dark colored. When we moved into this house, we had like a blue cloth couch, went with some of the, you know, the core, and that was darker color and we would eat on the couch all the time. So that's the habit for us, is we eat in the living
room. That's just something you do.
Yeah. If we're watching a show or, you know, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have
watching a game.
Now
Jim Costa's rules.
Yeah, redoing the living room, the couch, the TV, all of it. And this new couch is like a beige. And I didn't realize I was doing this until my wife called me a couch cop, but I was policing what we were eating on the couch. Now, if you want to have like a snack that's not going to stain, I'm reasonable, but I don't know why I'm doing this. And you said it's a dad thing. It's a dad moment, cracking down on this new couch. Eventually, I know we'll relax and let up, but we just got the couch and I'm being weirdly protective over it.
And you don't want a big stain on it the moment you get it. I get that.
And I think people can relate. When you buy something new, that initial keep it nice feeling is what I think I am projecting and being overbearing with.
We have somebody perfect on Twitch that can relate. First, I'll give you one here. I guarantee, this is from Kai Tech. I guarantee the first person to put a stain on the couch is going to be Jim.
for sure, because he set himself up for that.
And you're going to have to own it.
Uh-huh.
The next one, this is where I think it's relatable. And I think they've inserted a name. We could just insert Costa,
okay,
Jim in this. But it says, my grandma, this is where you insert Jim Costa, used to put clear plastic covers over everything.
Oh, yep. No, I would never do that.
You sit down and you get that like crunchy sound. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, this is the answer, right? That way you don't have to be the couch cop. You don't have to police an adult.
Yeah,
your
wife. I know. That's weird. And the other thing is too, I'm not this like neat freak. Like I'm team, like we live here. If people come by, we live here. It's okay if it doesn't look like, you know, white glove treatment and the whole house is clean, but it's the fact that it's new. It's this fun space that we're building. I just want it to stay nice as long as we can.
Like a blanket. Like make sure you do like a throw blanket over where you're going to sit. It's like a bib.
Right, yeah. So that's what we do. Like, because Gunnar will get up on the couch.
Yeah.
He's a white lab, hair all over the place. So we put a blanket on there. That is his seat on the couch.
Yeah. You could put a little blanket out for her seat.
For her seat.
See, that's.
Here, sweetie.
I see how this is demeaning.
Yes, yes. That way I can just kind of fold it all up. When you make your mess, and I could take it to the washing machine, and by the next morning, you can sit there again.
So we had a couple questions, and we do want to get phone calls and ticket texts. You guys are on hold. We're going to get to you. The first question John asked, after he got done laughing at this ridiculousness, is he said, do you have stories like this?
Mm-hmm.
Spouses ruining a couch or something that you just bought.
Or even kids.
Or kids, because you told a story about Teddy with the crayons, not once but twice, defying you, challenging you. And then the second question was, do you eat on the couch? Mm-hmm. And Heather, you are firm no in your house. Like nothing?
We are. It's also the way our house is set up, right? Like I can sit at the kitchen table and reach a little far over and touch the couch. Like, so it's easier to eat at the table, over the tile, in the kitchen. If you still have the TV on, which we really don't, we could still watch we eat. And then you can go sit on the couch to enjoy and lounge. And if we're going to have like a party or we're going to watch a game or we're going to do something, we go in the basement.
Okay.
And everything's fair game down there.
David and Lapeer, you're up first. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Morning. Love the show. Listening to all the shows all day, every day.
We love it.
Thanks.
Heather, Gov, Jansen, and you, Costa. Welcome, Costa.
Thanks.
It's been a treat listening to your topics.
Thank you.
So where are you at on the couch stuff?
We do not eat on the couch. I'll go to part two, but I am definitely 100% couch cop. Do you know how ladies drive down the road and they put one leg up and they drive with one leg up?
I've seen men do this too.
Oh, like a foot out the window?
I've seen men do it too, but most of the time I see women doing it.
Yes.
Well, that foot really pushes down on the seat. I bought a brand new Lazy Boy. It's got recliners on both ends, but it's a couch. And she sits like that, and she smashed down one of the cushions. It's totally smashed. When you sit in that seat, you're like on a slope, like you're going to fall over towards the middle of the couch. Well, one day, I seen her sitting on
just
my
from her
side
foot,
of the
right?
couch. What's that?
Just from her foot?
Yeah, from her foot, okay. smashing down the brand new couch. So I seen her sitting on my side, and I pulled out the couch top and said, "Don't you ever sit on my side like that."
Oh, you hit her! You hit her with a "Don't you ever?"
Oh,
"Don't you ever?"
And my side.
Don't
come ruin my
seat.
Once you've ruined yours, don't move to my side.
He hit her with the "Don't you ever" line. Yeah. He just laid down the law, couch cop style.
Yeah, the way that was typed on the call screen, I was curious as to how that was going to go, because
you think it's more than a foot that deformed it?
That's the way it was written.
Yeah.
My wife deformed my lazy boy or whatever it said. Like, my recliner. How'd that happen?
Calls to get to some fun ticket text. Lions in the 8 o'clock hour. It's 97.1. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're talking Lions training camp. They are underway today. Dave Burkett had a sobering stat. We are in uncharted territory. Lions with Super Bowl aspirations. Was he being a buzzkill? Or was this important context to keep us all in the right mindset? I brought up my new couch and some rules that I have with the new couch. So for some context, we used to have a black leather couch. And we'd eat on the couch because it's a black leather couch. You can wipe stuff off. Yep. It's dark colored. When we moved into this house, we had like a blue cloth couch, went with some of the, you know, decor, and that was darker color, and we would eat on the couch all the time. So that's the habit for us, is we eat in the living
room. That's just something you do.
Yeah, if we're watching a show or, you know, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have...
Watching a game.
Now
Jim Costa's rules.
Yeah, redoing the living room, the couch, the TV, all of it, and this new couch is like a beige. And I didn't realize I was doing this until my wife called me a couch cop, but I was policing what we were eating on the couch. Now, if you want to have like a snack that's not going to stain, I'm reasonable, but
reasonable.
I don't know why I'm doing this. And you said it's a dad thing. It's a dad moment, cracking down on this new couch. Eventually, I know we'll relax and let up, but we just got the couch and I'm being weirdly protective over it.
And you don't want a big stain on it the moment you get it. I get that.
And I think people can relate. When you buy something new, that initial keep it nice feeling is what I think I am projecting and being overbearing with.
We have somebody perfect on Twitch that can relate. First, I'll give you one here. I guarantee, this is from Kai Tech. I guarantee the first person to put a stain on the couch is going to be Jim.
for sure, because he set himself up for that.
And you're going to have to own it.
Uh-huh.
The next one, this is where I think it's relatable. And I think they've inserted a name. We could just insert Costa,
okay,
Jim in this. But it says, my grandma, this is where you insert Jim Costa, used to put clear plastic covers over everything.
Oh, yep. No, I would never do that.
You sit down and you get that like crunchy sound.
Yeah. I mean, this is the answer. Right? That way you don't have to be the couch cop. You don't have to police an adult.
Yeah, I know. That's weird. And the other thing is too, I'm not this like neat freak. Like I'm team, like we live here. If people come by, we live here. It's okay if it doesn't look like, you know, white glove treatment and the whole house is clean, but it's the fact that it's new. It's this fun space that we're building. I just want it to stay nice as long as we can.
Like a blanket. Like make sure you do like a throw blanket over where you're gonna sit. It's like a bib.
Right, yeah, so that's what we do. Like, because Gunnar will get up on the couch.
Yeah,
he's a white lab, hair all over the place. So we put a blanket on there. That is his seat on the couch.
Yeah, you could put a little blanket out for her seat.
For her seat.
See, that's
here, sweetie.
I see how this is demeaning.
Uh-huh, here's your seat.
Yes. That way I can just kind of fold it all up. When you make your mess, and I could take it to the washing machine, and by the next morning, you can sit there again.
So we had a couple questions, and we do want to get phone calls and ticket texts. You guys are on hold. We're going to get to you. The first question John asked, after he got done laughing at this ridiculousness, is he said, do you have stories like this?
Mm-hmm.
Spouses ruining a couch or something that you just bought.
Or even kids.
Or kids, because you told a story about Teddy with the crayons, not once but twice, defying you, challenging you. And then the second question was, do you eat on the couch? Mm-hmm. And Heather, you are firm no in your house. Like nothing?
We are. It's also the way our house is set up, right? Like I can sit at the kitchen table and reach a little far over and touch the couch. Like, so it's easier to eat at the table, over the tile, in the kitchen. If you still have the TV on, which we really don't, we could still watch TV while we eat. And then you can go sit on the couch to enjoy and lounge. And if we're going to have like a party or we're going to watch a game or we're going to do something, we go in the basement.
Okay.
And everything's fair game down there.
David and Lapeer, you're up first. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Morning. Love the show. Listening to all the shows all day, every day.
We love
it. Thanks.
Heather, Gov, Jansen, and you, Costa. Welcome, Costa.
Thanks.
It's been a treat listening to your topics.
Thank you.
So where are you at on the couch stuff?
We do not eat on the couch. I'll go to part two, but I am definitely 100% couch cop. Do you know how ladies drive down the road and they put one leg up and they drive with one leg up?
I've seen men do this too.
Oh, like a foot like, out
I've
the window?
I've seen men do it too, but most of the time yes. I see women doing it.
Yes.
Well, that foot really pushes down on the seat. I bought a brand new Lazy Boy. It's got recliners on both ends, but it's a couch. And she sits like that, and she smashed down one of the cushions. It's totally smashed. When you sit in that seat, you're like on a slope, like you're going to fall over towards the middle of the couch. Well, one day, I seen her sitting on
just
my
from her
side
foot,
of
right?
the couch. What's that?
Just from her foot?
Yeah, from her foot, okay. smashing down the brand new couch. So I seen her sitting on my side, and I pulled out the couch cop and said, "Don't you ever sit on my side like that."
Oh, you hit her! You hit her with a "Don't you ever?"
Oh,
a "Don't
yeah.
you ever?"
And my side.
Don't
wow.
come ruin my
yeah.
seat.
Once you've ruined yours, don't move to my side.
He hit her with the "Don't you ever" line. Yeah. He just laid down the law, mm-hmm. couch cop style.
Yeah, the way that was typed on the call screen, I was curious as to how that was going to go because
you think it's more than a foot that deformed it.
That's the way it was written.
Yeah.
My wife deformed my Lazy Boy or whatever it yeah. said. Like, how did that happen?
Calls to get to some fun ticket text. Lions in the 8 o'clock hour. It's 97.1.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.